I just want to triple down on that and say that when I've described this course to people, what I've been saying is it feels like our facilitators, our faculty are like meta teaching about teaching by doing the stuff that they're trying to get us to learn in real time as they're explaining it to us, which is what's making my brain want to explode in a good way.
Welcome everyone to Brief Debriefings at the Center for Medical Simulation. My name is James Lipshaw, and I am here today with Melissa White, Hannah Lawn, and Gabriella Hakim. Melissa and Hannah are two fellows here at the Center for Medical Simulation, and Gabriella is a participant in our Healthcare Simulation Essentials course. So welcome everyone. Thank you for joining me on this Friday of the course week.
Thank you.
To start us off, I just want to do a little reactions phase on the whole week. So you've been in an intense 5 days. How are you feeling?
So I've been feeling pretty overwhelmed, but excited at the same time. It's been, it's been a really busy week, but learned a lot.
My brain has felt like it's been on fire in a very good way. And it's been a really nice change of pace from my usual day-to-day.
Just a little caveat, having sort of seen the course, participated and now seen it, so three times in total, my brain is still, it's getting fuller and fuller. So that feeling for me still is there. But it's exciting and it's enabled me to be able to do a lot of reflection. Yesterday I said, oh, I think I should be a participant again.
Most people who come to this course, they have a specific project or program that they're working on, looking to develop as they move through the course week. This one's easy for me to generate curiosity on, Gabriella, because specifically us having worked together, I am actually really curious what project it is that you're working on this week. So what are you folks working on this week? What was the project that you started on Monday?
So I had submitted one project and then actually changed my answer on the first day. But I helped to run the administrative component of a youth-based simulation program that brings the same type of sim education that we offer to our clinicians at the hospital that I work at to youth in the greater Boston area. And I am using my project here at CMS to design a program for the clinician volunteers who facilitate that program that would get them up to speed on setting psychological safety for a particular sim session with our youth. I'm particularly interested in the pre-brief that introduces the sim case for our youth. Yeah.
So my project that I was working on was more interprofessional education within sim, particularly using escalating the deteriorating patient. So having nurses escalate to doctors with the SBAR. And it's been really useful here this week at CMS to utilize the readiness plans and goals and also that concept of zone 1, 2, and 3 simulation and debriefing, which was a relatively new concept for me before coming to this course.
I've been working on developing simulation faculty. So my time here at CMS, I'm looking at trying to develop faculty and I think for me, working through the partnership pathway and getting repeated exposure to how that works and working my way through it has been really valuable to see how to direct the flow of that development. So I think being exposed a number of times I learn a little bit more each time I see it.
So In sort of the context of those projects and programs, I'm curious if there was a single biggest question that you had that you were looking for an answer to as you came through the week, like one sort of most pressing thing that you were trying to resolve.
For me, I think it was the how to initiate that interprofessional education. As a doctor, I often teach medical students or junior doctors, but don't always have that nursing involvement. So the concepts, and particularly today on the last day of the course, about readiness plans and actually the how to do set up a module or a simulation program has been really useful.
I think it's getting the buy-in. How do I direct my ideas to make them matter to the people that to the upper leadership. And what I've realized is that coming at it is not from coming at, you know, running a sim program. It's coming at it from a, you know, you want your people to be ready to do these things. And I've really found that my language and nomenclature has changed around my goals. So it's being ready. What are we going to get them ready to do? And what are they not ready to do now? Which I think resonates with that leadership more. So I think that's been a bit of an epiphany.
Yeah, that moment of your people aren't ready to do this thing when it happens it's a lot stronger of language than we'd like to train them a little more. We'd like to do this a little differently. We'd like to improve the school. Like, they're not ready to do it.
Yeah. It's like, we need to do this trauma training because we see trauma. But, you know, you're not ready to receive a trauma patient is a very different statement.
I think I'm unusual in our class in that I'm not a clinician. And Melissa, you mentioned the partnership pathway. I think that I tend to, in my day-to-day work, think about the partnership pathway quite a lot and think about who has stake in every plan that I help to propose or help to bring forth. So what one of my biggest central questions in my project has been is to try to, as much as possible, de-risk an experience for leadership in my department and also for the facilitators who are facilitating the content in the sim, and also for the high school age students who are going to be participating in it. And I know that sim is about, part of what sim is about is taking some risk in as safe of an environment as possible, but also putting a cap on the amount of risk that a participant undertakes.
Yeah, as a fellow non-clinician who works in simulation operations, our behind the stage language we often use is back leading. Like, we're doing the dance routine and the other person needs to look like they're leading, but we're the one who's actually leading.
Yes. And just thinking about all of the complexities of who's involved.
Yeah, absolutely. So were you able to answer those questions? And if so, what were the answer that you sort of started to percolate on?
I think for me, it was developing that framework. And I like that you weren't given the answer. We were given the tools to come up with the answer and had the opportunity for tabletop and workshops to do that ourselves, which has then sort of, I think there'll be other modules I'll be able to put that towards or other topics. So it's still a work in progress, but I think we've been given the toolkit to do that.
I like the way that you put that we've been given the tools. That's how I feel too. I don't feel like I'm going to come away with this with a perfect answer, but I think I have a lot of modalities for which I can have a conversation with the most important people involved in this project.
I was thinking the meta sort of comment is about watching all the layers of the onion unpeel and the walking the talk, and the team at CMS walk the talk and demonstrate all of the principles that they are teaching in the course as they go through the course. And so, you know, demonstrating fallibility for me is one of the bigger elements of that, and that it's okay and that it's a journey.
And it's been really inspiring to see the leadership team here, the, you know, facilitators actually just demonstrate with good judgment and other techniques that we've been taught through this week. And I think that's been, you know, really inspiring, and hopefully can take some, you know, as a leader back in my institution, being able to do the same.
I just want to triple down on that and say that when I've described this course to people, what I've been saying is it feels like our facilitators, our faculty are like meta teaching about teaching by doing the stuff that they're trying to get us to learn in real time as they're explaining it to us, which is what's making my brain want to explode in a good way.
But it's also, you can see the light bulbs ping on for people, and not only about sort of the actual content, but the fact that, you know, the meta is going on in the background, and they realize and they're like, oh my God, they're doing that. It's super cool.
Yeah, if anything, I as an instructional designer, I occasionally am like, we need to reduce a meta layer here. One fewer meta layer happening, please. Yeah, I think that especially for things like, you know, when we talk about the partnership pathway and you guys, and this is rewinding a moment, but you were talking about getting the toolkit, but not necessarily the answer. You know, I feel like one of the things we say is this needs to be done in collaboration with partners in your institution. So it wouldn't make sense to go back with it written in stone, like this is how we fix our problems or this is how we're going to run this program. It needs to be done in collaboration with the partners in your institution. When you get back, this is step one in order to get down the path to having it happen.
And that was probably something for me that was unexpected. I thought I'd come here and learn how to like develop a very good technical sim and just learn to debrief. Obviously, a lot has been more about the planning of sim, debriefing, but that extra stuff of going to the stakeholders and how to have those conversations that might be awkward because it's funding involved or involving different personnel, that you know, desirable discomfort that we talked about and how to manage that. And I think that's been, for me, probably my aha moment.
Well, to be honest, I still need to do some partnership discussions and I'm still a little bit hesitant to launch into that process of talking to one of these really important people in the hospital about what's important to them and what might be confidential information as well to come to a common, you know, aim. So it is empowering to have a structure with which to do that.
Jenny Rudolph has a whole lecture that she's done on the danger of being the embedded expert, in the sense that it's like you got sent away for training and now you're coming back and you're the person who got trained and you have to be that person for your entire institution, and how difficult that can be. We do often recommend that institutions send two people to equally bear the burden of being the trained person. It can be really helpful, both just for the first step follow-up, to have somebody else you can talk to on Monday morning after the course and say, like, okay, what are we doing next? As opposed to being like, I'm sitting in my office, I'm the trained expert, I just got sent away for this 40-hour course, what do I do now?
I'm lucky that there's been, and particularly recently, a number of other clinicians in my department that have done the course. So probably within the last year. So we're building a culture, which is good.
Similarly, I'm from New Zealand. Not many people have been to the course, but there have been a few. We're relatively a small network of simulation instructors. So I don't have any that have been through this course in my institution, but I have contacts and I'm hoping to lean on them because they've had more years experience.
I also feel lucky that several members of both my department and also the specific program that I'm kind of focusing my energy on this week in the course, there are a lot of people who have taken this course before or who are about to take it after me. And I'm really excited to collaborate with them once we've all kind of done similar learnings. I keep joking with our classmates that I wish that we could have an opportunity to facilitate sims together, because I feel like with all this new knowledge that we have and all the kind of frames that we're starting to share together, it would be a lot of fun. So I'm glad I get to do that at my home institution.
I think that's a good point. It has been really fun. Like, although we've kind of said it's been overwhelming and lots to learn, you know, it's a tight knit 11 of us, and we've, you know, in a short period of time, you're launched into these unfamiliar environments and we become friends and we've all exchanged emails and numbers, and it's been a really rewarding personal experience as well.
And Hannah, I do have a duty to plug for the New Zealand sim community that we are in the process of planning a Christchurch one of these in 2025.
In Christchurch?
Yes.
Wow. Just across the ditch.
My parting question for this debriefing is, what is sticking in your head right now on the Friday of the course that you are going to be thinking about on the, well, if you're in here in Boston on the T ride home or the bus ride, but the car ride, the plane ride, the train ride home, what's that sort of thing that's still sticking in there that you're going to be turning over as you try to go to sleep this evening?
I think for me, it's going to be, I think I had envisioned that I'd come here and go back and hit the ground running with my sims. And I think just taking the time to really plan and do the plans, talk to stakeholders, so that I can get the buy-in from not only the learners themselves, particularly in the interprofessional team, but also management and where the funding comes from. And so really get together almost a good business case and prepare things. I think there's going to be a lot of behind the scenes work for me, which is still exciting, but probably a different concept to when I first came here.
I think for me that the skills are so transferable. So, you know, in debriefing, in work every day on the floor, and in my family as I employ them with my children. So just that it can be used in so many more ways than just to debrief a sim.
I'm trying to take the lesson of if as an instructor or somebody designing sims, I reveal in a kind way my point of view, it will allow room for that same transparency on the part of my learners. That feels like a powerful takeaway and not something that always is instinctual.
If anything, I would say I've seen that be the hardest thing for folks to do is this is my judgment in that moment in the advocacy inquiry.
Setting that standard and then going from there.
Melissa, what you just said about using some of these things with your kids or with your family. I also feel like a lot of the frameworks that we're using to talk to one another and to debrief sims are so relevant in the rest of life. And I'm excited to challenge myself to use them outside of just sim courses.
So thank you everyone so much for joining me. This has been another session of Brief Debriefings for the Healthcare Simulation Essentials course at the Center for Medical Simulation. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.